Book of Job, and we've got some things here that God wants us to look at this evening, and I pray it'll be a blessing for you. We look here in the book of Job chapter 1, and beginning in verse 1, would you stand with me tonight for the reading of God's Word? Job 1, if you're able, Job 1:1. The Bible says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 5,000 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually." Verse 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' And then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse you to thy face.' And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand.' So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." Thank you. You may be seated. You know, as I read this passage, and so many different things in here, and we'll just have a chance to touch just a glimpse of it tonight, but I can't help but think of how blessed that I have been and my family has been. I'm blessed to have both of my boys who went off to Bible college, met their wives there. Both their wives are pastor's daughter. They graduated. They all at different times approached me about God calling them to minister with us there at Hope Children's Home. Now having my oldest son's a preacher, my youngest son's a business manager for me. My daughter-in-law's, one does video work for us, the other one does all the printed material for us. What a blessing. My grandchildren, 3 grandchildren there at the home, get to see them every day. We live on the same cut of property there. Got a 4th grandchild on the way next month. We've been so blessed, and there's just so many blessings about, if I could say, being a Christian. So many blessings about being a Christian. Makes you wonder why anybody wouldn't want to have a relationship with God. You know, we have blessings such as, well, heaven's our home one day. We have peace, and we have joy, and we have contentment. We have, as we were saying about this morning, that God who's with us on the valley, in the mountaintop and on the valley, we have all these benefits. And then I suppose one of the greatest benefits or blessings that we have as being a Christian is not so much that heaven's our home one day, but greater than that, that hell never will be. Amen. Really, that's the greatest. But we've had so many blessings as believers in Christ. And there's one mentioned here that I want to hone in on tonight. And it's this very idea of talking about God's hedge. God's hedge. And as we think about that and about God's hedge around His children, I begin to wonder if it is true, and it is, we see it in Scripture, that God has put this hedge about His children. And I would assume tonight on a Sunday night with the temperature dropping, a little chance of some weather here afterwards, that most everyone, if not all in this room, are believers in Christ. But no doubt the large majority of us are this evening. And I look at that, and we know that God's hedge of protection's round about us. But then I wonder, why is it so that so many Christians have so many troubles and so many problems in their life? To be honest with you, as I gave an example this morning, if you were here, and then by the video tonight, and the situations these children come out of, we sit down with every single person that places a child in the home. Sometimes it's mom, sometimes it's dad, sometimes it's mom and dad. Maybe they're now with an aunt or an uncle or grandma or grandpa, but we sit down with those folks face to face and talk to them. And honest before you, I would say 90% of them can give you a clear presentation of the gospel and how they've accepted Christ as their Savior. Now, are they saved? I don't know. Some of them have some horrible, horrible lifestyles. But I do know this, they have a mountain of problems and difficulties and failures and tragedies in their life. But yet God's hedge is round about them. What is the problem? And thus the title of my message tonight, is there a hole in your hedge? Is there a hole in your hedge? And that's what I want us to look at tonight. And as we look at this passage here, we see some things in this. First of all, we see that there are some prerequisites for the hedge. There's some prerequisites for this hedge. First of all, we must, as we can assume and understand from the passage, we must know God. For us to have God's hedge of protection round about us, we have to know Him and we have to have a personal relationship with Him. In other words, we have to be one of His children. Listen, when my children were little, I protected my children. My hedge was around them. And as I have little children still in my home, that's around me. And there's some 70 children at Hope Children's Home when they're directly in my care. I know where they're all at. I know where what the dangers are. We're watching after them. And as we're God's children, He'll place that hedge around us again. But there's prerequisites to it. Knowing God, secondly, as we look here in the passage in verse 1, the Bible says that Job was perfect. That doesn't mean sinless. It means spiritually mature or maturing. And for God to have this hedge of protection around us, we must be spiritually mature. We must be maturing in the Lord. And shouldn't we always be spiritually maturing in the Lord? Shouldn't our path always be upward? Shouldn't our path always be growing in His Word and learning more and absorbing more and applying more and doing more? That's the direction we should be in as Christians. And with that, I believe, is one of the prerequisites of God's hedge. We see here also the Bible says, verse 1, that Job was upright. Just simply put, someone who's honest and has some integrity and has some character, and we're lacking that so much in our society today, folks that have honesty and integrity and character, and we're lacking it from the pew to the pulpit, unfortunately. Men of God and ladies of God and Christians and believers and church members that'll just have some good old-fashioned integrity and character in their life. I believe it's a prerequisite of God having that hedge round about you. And we see the Bible says also here that he feared God. He feared God. Now listen. The world will tell you that those are unhealthy things to have, a fear. As a matter of fact, we have fought, and we have fought some legislation up in Tallahassee, and we fight this. Political crowd all the time. We have someone in Tallahassee nearly all the time looking over bills, searching bills that would eliminate or hinder our Christian rights to run a Hope Children's Home. And we have to watch those things all the time. 1981, our Hope Children's Home teamed up with Senator John Grant at the time and passed some major legislation that still we're able to operate under today as Hope Children's Home and 30-some other homes in the state of Florida that have that privilege because of that law. So we're constantly doing this. One of the last things we fought in last session was that the bill was dealing with verbal abuse. And it actually would say not in exact words, but the essence would be, if I were to tell a child, if you don't accept Christ as your Savior, that the Bible says that hell is your destiny, that would be verbal abuse. And those are the things that the laws of our land are starting to put on us and telling us, because it's fear, you're putting unhealthy fear into them. Let me just tell you tonight, the fear of God's a healthy thing. It's a very healthy thing. I know there was times growing up as a young man that I would get off track or struggle, or I'd have decisions to make, right or wrong. And I wished I could say that every time that I chose the right way, it was because I loved God so much. But I'll be honest with you, and we'll say this even as an adult, it's not always because we love God so much. Sometimes it's because we fear what He would do to us and what His judgment on us. So a fear of God's a good thing, and I believe it's one of these prerequisites for us to have the hedge. As we see, the Bible says that Job had a fear of God. It also says that he put off evil. And when I say that put off evil, it reminds me of Joseph when he put off Potiphar's wife. And we need to have that mindset and that mentality when sin should approach us, when sin should befall us, when sin comes into our path, that we would put it off. And I've practiced that now going into my 25th year of ministry, and I've worked around children and young people all of those years. We have to purpose to put off evil and to keep it from us. I've never, thank God, praise the Lord, to this day, never had any false accusations against me. I should have. The type of children I work with and the type of children that I've been around and all these years, I should have. But I practice hard and purpose to put off evil. One of the first things I did, Brother Murph, when we came to Hope Children's Home, was in all the offices and anywhere where there could be a closed door and children and adults behind it, we put in French doors, glass French doors. Everyone. My office was first and then on and on and on. Just trying to keep evil away to where an accusation couldn't be made. And we've got to practice that and we've got to apply that. And sometimes the old devil's going to come knocking and we better have a mindset that we're not going to be any part of that before he ever comes knocking. Put off evil. Prerequisites of the hedge. Secondly, tonight, not only do you see prerequisites of the hedge, but we also see the power of the hedge. Power of the hedge. Let me back up. Provisions of the hedge tonight, because I want to look at verse 2 here. We see prerequisites of the hedge, and then we see provisions of the hedge tonight. Look in verse 2 and 3 there. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. We see here that Job was prosperous in family. He was prosperous in family. And also we see in verse 4, the Bible says, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. You read that, it might not mean much to you, but think about what's going on here. It's family unity. It's a family that's getting along. They're fellowshipping together. They're having a big time together. They're enjoying one another's company. Let me tell you, that's becoming more of a rarity out there. Why are we getting children in sooner than ever, younger than ever, than we've seen over the years? It's what I said this morning, because the family's in complete disarray. Used to, here's how what we call a placement call would go. Someone would call in, my wife handles all the pre-placement calls, and they would say, yes, I have a little boy, Johnny, he's 10 years old, and we tried everything, and we don't know what else to do, and we're calling you to see if we can take him in the home. We'd say, well, now, you know, is there any other family members that can help out? Yes, when he was 3 years old, this thing fell apart. And he went to live with his grandma for a couple of years, and that didn't work out. So he went to live with his other grandpa on the other side, and that didn't work out too well. And then he lived with his aunt and uncle for a while and so on. And now he's 10 years old, and we've exhausted our resources. Well, the calls don't go like that anymore. We'll get a call, and it'll be for little Johnny, and he's 3. And we'll say, well, now, do you have any family that can step in? We can maybe help you with, put some things together. No, I haven't talked to my dad in 10 years. And, hey, you know, and my mom, I don't even know where she's at. And how about a brother, sister, or grandma, grandpa? No, my brother tried to stab me last week, and I called the police on him. And my grandpa strung out on drugs. I mean, it's the biggest mess you've ever seen. Families in complete disarray. So I believe one of the things that we see here of having God's hedge around us, we see Job had provision of the hedge, was his prosperous in family. That's a blessing, folks. That's a great blessing. And then we see here not only prosperous in family, but we see prosperous in wealth. It says his substance in verse 3 was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household. Listen, Job was greatly blessed. And listen, we don't have to have great wealth to be blessed. That's just one of the ways that God might choose to bless us. And wealth, let me say this, wealth is not a sign of blessings. Wealth is not a sign that God's hand has been on somebody. If that's so, just down the road from us, we have Busch Gardens owned by Anheuser-Busch. They got a whole lot of money, but I don't believe God's hand's on them. Amen. But sometimes God does choose to provide that way. And we see that's one of the provisions of the hedge sometimes. But I ask you tonight, as we look at these things and the prerequisites of the hedge and the provisions of the hedge, I'm asking you to search your heart. Could there be a hole in your hedge? Could there be a hole in your hedge? You see, that's what this message is about tonight, as we go through and look at some of these things, for us to examine that the old devil wouldn't trick us somehow and he'd create a hole in our hedge that we didn't see because he's waiting to get in. See, he's waiting to get in. We'll see that. We also see tonight not only prerequisites of the hedge and provisions of the hedge, but we also see that there's power in the hedge. Power in the hedge. Look in verse 3. The Bible says the last part of that, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the East. greatest of all the men in the East. As we see Job, Job's hedge is around him and the power of the Holy Spirit's on him. And we see here tonight that, and I look at these young people and their lives, and I've come to realize that if God's hedge protection's around them and the power of God is in them, that there's nothing that these young people can't go on to do for the Lord. You saw pictures of, and she was on property just this past year, of Sarah Beth, the very first family in the home. Very first family in the home. And now, and tragic background, but now she's a missionary. Her and her family are missionaries. What a blessing. It's because of the power of the hedge there, of God's protection around them and God's provision around them and the power that God puts upon them. And then we see here not only was the power upon Job, the Bible says, but the power was upon his family as well. We see there in verse 5, and it says, "And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." Now there's a whole bunch of stuff there that we could get real deep in, but let me just say this, that Job was being the spiritual leader in his home. You see, there was not sacrifices being made at that time, and Job took the responsibility for his family to provide sacrifices for his family, and it says because he was afraid that his sons might have sinned in their hearts. In other words, he felt like he had good kids, but they might have done something wrong. They didn't even really realize it. And he wanted to make sure as the spiritual leader of the home that he was taking care of business with between him and God for his family. And may I just camp out right there for a moment and emphasize how important that us men, us fathers, us husbands are spiritual leaders in our home. The greatest breakdown we have in our churches today and in the society today is fathers who aren't the spiritual leaders in their home. In this church, I believe in any church, it can only be as strong as the men are in the church. And you know, we have to understand that great responsibility. I realize that for Hope Children's Home, spiritually, it will never rise above me. Therefore, I have a great responsibility to elevate myself and to walk with God in such a way that the home will be spiritually healthy, if for no other reason. I realize as a father, as a husband, that my children will not rise above me, chances are. And so I have a responsibility to be the spiritual leader, the spiritual head of the home. My wife, chances are, is not going to rise above me spiritually, so therefore I have to be in a position with God that she is able to thrive and that I'm the leader of the home. And we have to have this, and when this gets out of whack, the whole family gets out of whack, thus becomes the problems that we have. We have too many wives leading the home, and let's face it, we have way too many children leading the home as well. And we have to understand that God's is not in that, and for that power of God's hedge to be around us, we must have these things into place. We also see that not only is there prerequisites, not only provisions of the hedge, there's the power of the hedge, but we also know that there's protection in the hedge. That there's protection in the hedge. And this is what we are most commonly familiar with. Because we often, as I said this morning, we'll pray a prayer, maybe as folks are, seem like sometimes when folks are gathering on the road or taking a trip, and we'll pray, "Lord, please protect them, put your hedge of protection around about them." And we've all prayed that prayer often. Well, this is where that comes from. This is the terminology that we're referring to in the protection of the hedge. Let's look at this. We see in verse 9 and 10 this protection of the hedge. We see the Bible says, "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him?" Well, is the hedge complete? Let's look at it. The Bible says that the hedge is about him, we see, and about his house, that would be his family, and about all that he hath. So we can understand tonight that hedge of protection, it is complete. We see that it's round about Job, it's round about his family, and it's round about his possessions. And who's put that hedge in place? God. God has put that hedge in place. And we see here that hedge of protection is placed around him. And that's really what we're all, I believe, desiring. That's where we all want to be. We want God's hedge of protection round about us. But you see, it just doesn't come. It's just not a given. It's not something that we can live our lives, I believe, any old way we want as Christians and expect God's hedge of protection round about us. Over in Psalms chapter 1, listen to this. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, "Because I have called and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distresses and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." You see, we know that God is not a puppet and God will not be used. But too many times God's people want to do things their own way. They're not worried about these prerequisites of the hedge. They're not worried about their life being in order so that God's hedge will be around them. And then when things start getting a little out of whack or when they need God, then all of a sudden they want this hedge of protection around about them. Doesn't work that way. And we see here that there's things that must be in place. But we do know when that hedge of protection is round about us, that it is a complete hedge of protection. Now here's what I want you to see tonight, really take home with you tonight, because there's a lot going on right here in these couple of verses of 9 and 10. We see that this hedge is around Job, it's around his family, and it's around all that he hath. Now how do we know that that's the case? Because in the Bible we see a discourse between God and Satan. Who's stating that this hedge is round about them? Satan is. Well, how does he know? It's because he's looked. See? It's because he's looking. Now listen, this comes to a real sobering thought here. The Bible says, "Satan answered the Lord and said, Hast thou, God, not made a hedge about Job, about his family, about all that he hath?" And he even says, "On every side." On every side. You don't think that the old devil's not looking for a hole in your hedge? You better believe he is. See, Satan said, "I've looked at Job, and I've examined this hedge, God, that you've got around him. And I've looked at it on every side, and there's nothing I can do. The hedge is good. And I went to his family, and I've looked at his family, God, and I've looked around his family, and that you've got this hedge around them. And I've looked on every side." Now go back. Why is his family so well protected? It goes back to because Job was being the spiritual leader of his home, you see. And so he was well protected. So he had a hedge around Job, had a hedge around his family, and had a hedge around all that he had as God's way of blessing. And the old devil's looking because he's acknowledged the hedge, and he's acknowledged that he's looked on every side of the hedge. So then we must think, does the old devil looking at us? Is he looking to see if there's a hole in our hedge? Well, let's jump up a verse or two here. It says, look at verse 7. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou?" Which is always entertaining to me that God says, ask questions like he doesn't know. But you know, God will ask questions just to see what the response is sometimes. You ever asked a child a question, you knew the answer, just to see the response? Well, Satan said, when he was asked, where you been? He says, he answered the Lord, and he says, look at it, verse 7, "from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down it." Think he's out for a Sunday stroll? Think he's out just stretching his legs? No. He can't be everywhere at once. He's not omnipresent. And where he's at, he's got a purpose for being there. Where was he at? He was right here, this place we call earth. And he was looking for people just like you, God's people, to find out if there's a hedge. You say, "Oh, I thought he's out there working on the world." No. You've got it wrong. He's already got them. Yeah, right. "Well, I thought he's out there, the folks that never come to church anymore." No. He's got them where he wants them. Who's he looking for? You. He's looking at me. He's looking at you. He's looking at Pastor. That's who he's looking for. And that's what he does. Don't ever think that that's not what he's doing. And all of his workers and all of his wickedness is out here looking all the time, searching the earth to and fro, looking to see if somebody's got a hole in their hedge. Looking for a hole in their hedge. We've got just a few minutes from Hope Children's Home. Is Busch Gardens, I referred to that. And because it's close and convenient, we can run down there and pet the animals and ride some rides. My family and I have season passes there. And I'll take that little Julissa with us who lives in our home. And we'll go down there sometimes for just a few hours. And one of the things she likes to watch is it's a kind of a built-up area, and down below, way down the pit there, is a big grassy area, and they've got a row of hedges around the wall, inside the wall. And down in there, you'll see, any time of day, you'll see an anteater, and he's just walking a path. And he's got a path completely wore down the ground around those hedges, and then he'll make a circle, come back around, and go around, and he'll make a circle, come back. He'll just do that. I've never seen him not doing that. I guess he lays and sleeps sometimes, but every time I've ever been there, that's what he's doing. And he'll look over in that hedge and put his long snout over there once in a while. What's he looking for? Looking for a hole. In his case, to get out. But as much as he's looking for a hole to get out, I guarantee you the old devil's looking for a hole to get in. He's looking for a hole in our hedge. And we see here tonight that we have God's hedge, but there's some prerequisites to it. Then there's some provisions of the hedge. We know that there's power in the hedge. We know that there's protection of the hedge. And you say, well, Brother Mike, really, how important is that hedge? You know, can't we just stay prayed up and you know, God will take care of His children and all? And all? Well, you decide. Look here in verse 12. Well, first of all, in verse 11, The old Satan tries to tell God to do something, but God doesn't take orders from Satan. Amen. He says, put thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee thy face. Do you realize that God never put his hand on Job? He told Satan in verse 12, he said, the Lord said to Satan, in other words, he's saying, you'll do it my way. He says, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only don't take his life, but all that he hath. What happened in that little couple of verses there? What are a couple of words there? What happened? God lowered the hedge. So all God did, He took the hedge down away from Job. Because, see, that was the obstacle that Satan had to get in. Wasn't that Satan wasn't powerful? Wasn't that he didn't know? Wasn't that he didn't have the ability? It was the hedge that was keeping him out. It was God's hedge that was keeping the devil out from infiltration. What's the infiltration? It's ripping your home apart. It's causing your teenagers to go crazy like you never dreamed. It's breaking up a husband and wife that have been married for 30 years. It's all the havoc and the junk that we see, and I've just explained all day today, because there's a hole in the hedge. That's the result of the hole in the hedge. Now, what happened to Job when that hole in his hedge was brought down? Well, you know the story. When that hole in his hedge was brought down, he lost his whole family. He also lost all of his livelihood. He also lost all of his possessions. You say, well, Job was a good man. Why did that happen to him? Well, I don't really pretend to understand all of it, but I do know this. I know the best I can discern, Job really never got an answer to that. But he trusted God. And he kept his faith in God. Flip over there to chapter 42. And we'll see how he responded. Chapter 42, I believe it is, last chapter. Amen. Amen. I told you wrong. Look chapter 1, last verse there, all the way back. I just see if you turn your Bible. I want to hear the pages. Amen. Verse 22, chapter 1. Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In all this. I don't know that Job ever got a real answer of why he went through anything. I know that he stayed faithful. And I know because of his faithfulness, God blessed him and blessed him with double of everything he ever had. And I know this, that sometimes we won't have the answers of life and we won't know why we're going through some things and even things that God allows us to go through. But that's, my friend, when faith kicks in. That's when faith kicks in. And by faith, we put our trust in Jesus. By faith, we keep heading towards Him. By faith, we look to Him, the author and finisher of our faith. And by faith, we just keep on plugging away and be the example that God would have us to be to all those around us. And God will bring that day of blessing. He always does. I've seen it in the home many, many, many times. We began building these cottages 3.5 years ago. so we could put these little children in them cottages that about 10 or 12 children could be in together, brothers and sisters. You see, we have those two dormitories, 30 or 40 children in each dormitory, and little ones running around trying to take care of them. It's very difficult. Brothers and sisters split up. But how in the world are we going to do this? We began, we got funding together. We had businessmen and churches and others that was going to help, and folks donate, and businesses donating windows and companies donating doors. Man, everything's together. Got all the permits through the county, 14 different permits, had them all within about 2 weeks' time. Everything's lined up. And then we've got a state-run tree hugger group down there called Swift Mud, and they wouldn't approve it, made me do all kinds of stuff for 2 years, Brother Murph. Everything in place. I lost almost everything that was put together in those 2 years. People dropped off, can't do it now. The economy hit. Everything looked really bleak in those 2 years. Well, things started picking up. Finally got the permit. I mean, those folks made me do one of the crazy things. They made me do an archaeological dig on the property. I had to hire archaeologists come in and do a dig because it could have been an Indian burial ground, they said, and crazy stuff like that. Well, 2 years later, we finally got our permits and started in on it. And now, step forward, August the 2nd of this last year, we opened our first beautiful cottage. By August 3rd, we had it filled. And now next month, February 5th, we'll open our second cottage. These are 4,000, we call them cottages because in our realm, that's what they're called. They're 4,000 square foot, so they're a little bigger than what you might think a cottage would be. Beautiful homes, completely green built, LEED certified. These homes would cost about $500,000 a piece to build. To this day, I don't have one penny in them. Not one single penny. Now, I went through some tough times there. And I went through some trials, and brother, it looked like I lost everything I had on the deal. But what did God do? Blessed me with double what I had, two cottages. See? And that's the way God works. My friend, the question is tonight, is your family healthy spiritually? Is there a hole in your hedge that could possibly be there? Because if there is, I want to tell you tonight, by way of testimony of hundreds, maybe thousands of stories, if there's a hole in your hedge, Satan will find it. And he'll cause great havoc to an extent that you have no concept of. How can there be a hole in your hedge? Well, tonight I want to just tell you just a couple of ways. A verse that comes to my mind, Ecclesiastes 10:8 says, "He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him." Number one way of getting a hole in your hedge is dads not being the spiritual leaders. We talked about that. That'll put a hole in your hedge right off the bat. Wish we had time to expound on that tonight. Number two, parents allowing their children to behave in ways that they shouldn't, that are ungodly. It'll create a hole in your hedge. And let me just throw in a little something here that I've learned now these 25 years. There's five areas as parents that's critical we watch for our children. And I include grandparents now when I talk because I have some grandchildren. And grandparents are a critical part of their grandchildren's life. Five areas. It's friends. It's music. It's clothing. It's what they watch and what they read and what they watch and look at. Music, friends, dress, movies, and reading material. Those are the five areas that you've got to guard and put your hedge around them. And I guarantee you, if you ever have a young person who's gotten off track, it's one or more of those five areas that's been influenced by Satan. That's one of the holes in the hedge right there. Where's the hole in the hedge come? In those areas in the life of your young people. And if Satan infiltrates them, he can infiltrate your family. You've got to put that hedge around it. But dad, moms, a lot of single moms out there, it becomes your responsibility, like it or not, your responsibility to make sure that hedge is up and that it's well protected. We see that dad's not being spiritual leader, parents not raising their children to honor God, folks sitting on the internet and getting into trouble. Had a dear preacher friend of mine that was straight as a gun barrel. I mean, this guy was on track. He'd been serving the Lord for years. One of my best friends. He's a missionary. He's on the foreign field. He was doing some reports to churches on the internet. And in some parts of the world, pornography is so bad it pops up as pop-ups and you can't hardly filter it out. And that was going on his computer. And he had purposed, and we had even talked about this in vague once we were over his house. He had purposed to have his office door when he was in there, where the only computer in the house was, to have his office door open when he was in there. And he positioned his desk to where the monitor could be seen by the door. So when his wife walked by, you could see it. See, that's putting off evil. Putting off evil. Well, he ended up moving that monitor around to where the door was there and the monitor was facing him. And then he would go in there and close the door tonight not to disturb her. And those pop-ups would come up. Before you know it, he had responded to a couple of them. And in a bordering town about a half hour away, a man of God found himself to such a point that he allowed a hole in his hedge to where he was literally getting in the car and meeting gals down the road. A guy that you would never suspect. And because of that, he lost his entire ministry. Now, he repented. He called me on the phone. He didn't get caught. Conviction caught him. It became overwhelming. He called his sending church, told them what had happened, called me and called several others, but it ruined his ministry. Poor dear wife and him had to come off the field and will never return. Is there a hole in your hedge tonight? Not having personal time in God's Word will create a hole in your hedge. Not having devotions will create a hole in your hedge. Folks, I just want to encourage you tonight to examine and find out if there's a hole in your hedge tonight. It can happen. It's subtle. It's easy to get there. But here's the thing. Satan's looking. He's looking. And he'll not miss it. You might miss it, but he won't. And so tonight I'm praying, my prayer has been that God would identify maybe somewhere in our hearts and lives, and we have to do it continually, that maybe there's a hole somewhere that we just need to shore up tonight. Maybe you've been watching some stuff on TV with your family that really just isn't honoring God. Maybe there's some things that you haven't been doing that you need to do. Maybe your family devotions have dropped off. You haven't been doing those. You need to get back to that. Whatever it might be that God's laid upon your heart tonight, it's my prayer that you can come up and get that thing shored up tonight. And here's the beauty of it. We can be sitting back here in the pew tonight, and God's laid some things on our heart, and we realize we have a hole in the hedge. All we've got to do is come up here, kneel at this old altar, ask God to forgive us, get those things corrected, and that hole sealed up. And you can walk out of here tonight with a good hedge and start afresh this evening. Let's stand tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening, and I thank you for your attendance tonight. I don't know what God's done in your heart this evening. Maybe throughout the day, God's identified some things, some needs, some desires. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. My dear friend, may I just acknowledge in the kindest way I can, if you're here without Christ, then you don't even have a hedge. You don't even have God's protection. What a dangerous thing it would be to leave this auditorium tonight without God's protection. If you're here tonight and you say, Brother Mike, I don't know for sure that heaven's my home. I don't know for sure that if I were to die, I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about that. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up all over the auditorium? I'm not sure that heaven's my home. Would you slip your hand up tonight? Pray for me, Brother Mike. Maybe someone would say, Brother Mike, God's identified some things in my life, and I want to be obedient to those. Would you pray to that effect tonight? You slip your hand up all over the auditorium. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Many hands. God's identified some things in my heart and life that I need to correct. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these that have slipped their hands up tonight, for those that have come forward tonight, and I pray that you'd make it clear upon our hearts tonight what your way and your will would be for us. Lord, we pray tonight that if there's any holes in our heads tonight, that they'd be so clearly identified by the Holy Spirit that there'd be no way we could miss it. And then I pray that we would repent, look to you, God, and seal that thing up and allow you to do the things in our life that you so desire to do, and that you'd use us in a great way. And Lord, we just commit this decision time to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's touch you.